Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken from them, and then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
2 days ago on Ash Wednesday, Jesus spoke to us about fasting. He said, "Don't put white powder over your face to draw attention to yourself so that others may see that you're fasting, but fast in secret so that your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Anoint your head and wash your face." Our fasting is meant to bring us into harmony with God the Father. That's what he tells us through the prophet Isaiah today. It's one of the most powerful passages in the Old Testament. We'll have the second half of it tomorrow. He sent out Isaiah to cry out at full volume, full-throated and unsparingly, like a trumpet blast, to tell the people of their wickedness, even though they were fasting, and fasting in a sense, a lot. They were asking, "Why do you fast and do not see it, afflict ourselves, and you take no note of it?" And God was going to answer through the prophet Isaiah, because their fast wasn't bringing them to God, but in fact, making them much more unlike God. "Your fast," he says, "ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw." You can almost see the bear coming on out. There's always a danger in fasting, of course, a triple danger I talk about. First is when we're doing it fundamentally for self-mastery rather than for God, and to hunger for what God hungers. It can make us proud. It can make us irritable and cranky because we just don't have enough glucose in the brain or in the muscles. And then it can prevent our getting our tasks done. Striking with wicked claw. Would that today you might fast so as to make your voice heard on high. And how is this fasting going to happen? When we begin to hunger for what God hungers, we hunger for his love. St. Paul said in his famous passage in his first letter to the Corinthians that if we have faith to move mountain ranges, if we hand over our body to the torturers, if we're able to give every prophetic utterance that ever needs to be said, but don't do it with love in the final analysis, we're a noisy gong and a nothing. Our fasting is meant to bring us into harmony with God's love for others. This is the manner of fasting I wish. This is the type of day of penance I want. To release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked, not turning back on your own family members, on your own kin, your own fellow religious, on your own fellow human beings. Ultimately, fasting is supposed to make us far more charitable. And the challenge for us is, does it? Does fasting change us so that we begin to have a great solidarity with those who fast not by choice for 40 days, but by necessity? They just don't simply have the food. Does it make us far more considerate of those who are suffering injustices? those who need God most, those who haven't had the real nutrition of the Word of God or the sacraments. This is what's meant to happen during this season. Jesus, in the Gospel, talks about this new form of fasting. But you have to dig deep into the Gospel to see it. When the disciples of John the Baptist, and we know John was fasting all the time, locusts and honey, out there in the middle of the desert, part of the draw to him was his asceticism. People just couldn't believe how heroically ascetic he was. So the disciples were following John the Baptist in this rigorous way of living. Why do we and the Pharisees fast all the time, they say? At least 3 days a week, seriously, for the Pharisees. But your disciples don't fast. I think they wanted, one of two things was happening in that question. Either they still saw Jesus fasting a lot, or they just didn't want to insult Jesus. And in the same way that people criticize the Holy Father by criticizing all those around the Holy Father, because they just don't want to sort of level their criticism at the man. So they were criticizing Jesus' disciples because they didn't want to criticize the master, maybe. Who knows what was really happening? But at least there wasn't a heck of a lot of fasting going on around Jesus. And he answered, "Can the friends of the bridal chamber, loosely translated as wedding guests, mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" We know that a time of a wedding is a time of feasting, not fasting. And the joy of our faith has got to trump the asceticism of our faith. This has got to characterize our Lent. You know, on Wednesday, Jesus said to us something really important. Sorry, St. Paul said to us something really important. When he described what the church ponders throughout this Lenten season, he doesn't say, "Now is the day of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving." He doesn't say, "Now is the time principally of conversion and reparation and repentance." All of those are true and do characterize the season. But he said, "Now is the day of salvation." That ultimately, the purpose for this season is the saving love of the Lord brought into our world. That Lent is this whole image of the parable of the prodigal son, which we go back to the love of the Father, but the love of the Father, in a sense, precedes us. And he's already looking on out, already prepared to restore us to fully who we are. But the joy of our faith needs to be present throughout all of our acts of penance. He says, though, the days will come when the bridegroom is, in the Greek there, is ripped away. It's the exact same verb that was used in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested and ripped away. The days will come when the bridegroom is ripped away, and then they will fast. We're supposed to fast because the bridegroom is ripped away from us. That's the purpose. John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees fasted for two reasons. One, in mourning / penance and reparation for the sins that have been done. But then two, in supplication for some other intention. Those were the two purposes of fasting. Jesus wants us to pray because the bridegroom is ripped away. We have to ask ourselves the question, when Jesus rose from the dead and before he ascended in heaven, didn't he say, "I will be with you always until the end of time"? Is the Lord not always with us in the sacraments, in the tabernacle? For those of us who are in the state of grace, is the Lord within us as in a temple? Yes, yes, and yes. So then why are we fasting at all during Lent? The reason is because even though the Lord is with us, we're not yet fully with him. We're not yet sharing the type of hunger that he has to make it the passion of our whole life to live what he has Isaiah cry out full-throatedly and unsparingly. There's still so many parts of us that aren't doing it in response to God's extraordinary love. Without the joy with which everything in our life needs to be lived, which is the tangible external sign of the full presence of God within. And so that's why we fast, because the bridegroom's love is with us, but we're not yet fully receiving that gift. So we fast, begging the Lord for the help to let it come in and so thoroughly change us that we will learn how to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor with the passion with which the bridegroom has loved us first. The most common fast of a Catholic is the fast we have before Holy Communion. That's a fast that isn't lived for 40 days. That's a fast that's lived every day in order precisely to stoke our hunger, not just to receive Jesus so that we can be one with him inside in a Holy Communion, but to receive Jesus so that that Holy Communion can be so profound that we will go out and sacrifice ourselves in memory of him. That's what it means ultimately to do this. So as we meet the bridegroom, not just as friends of the bridal chamber, but as the bride of Christ, let us let him consummate that union in a holocaust of love for the Father and for others, so that his light shining through us will break forth like the dawn. Praise be Jesus Christ.